joining us here. We call it braving the cold when it's 50 degrees in San Antonio. So just bear with us. We're a little used spoiled with the heat and the hot weather. But we're brave the cold. Thank you for those that brave the cold and the rain. And we say thank you for those that are watching us online. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's get right into the Word of God. Can we do that? All right, let's get right into it. Grab your Bible if you're online and join in with us, or take notes of the scriptures that they put up before you. Praise God. We're going to start a new series these next 2 months entitled The Secret Power of Joy. And tonight, the emphasis on the joy in the Holy Spirit as we begin and kick off this exciting new journey to learn secrets about the power of joy. God has great secrets. He wants us to finish this year with joy. He wants us to have not only joy, but great joy in our church. Great joy. Everybody say great joy.
Great joy.
And he wants us to experience the fullness of joy more often than we don't experience fullness of joy. So this is a step up in our joy level and our joy life, a joy-filled life. Are you ready to step up? All right, let's go to Romans chapter 14, verse 17 through 18. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 through 18. So it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy
in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says, for he who serves Christ in these. What are these? These are three values and virtues of the kingdom. These are the three values and three virtues that you and I are to operate in and throughout our day. Amen. He who serves Christ in these things. What things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Is acceptable to God and approved by men. New Living Translation says it this way, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. The Living Bible says it this way, for after all, the important thing for us as Christians is not what we eat or drink, but stirring up goodness and peace and joy from the Holy Spirit. If you let Christ be the Lord in these affairs, God will be glad and so will others. And so we will be discussing and demonstrating joy in the balance of the year 2021. God wants us to end this year, this course of this year, in joy. Start next year with joy. And that will be our emphasis on Wednesday nights this month and next month, December. So the secret power of joy and joy in the Holy Spirit. And joy, as we said, is simply a part of the life of faith as a Christian believer. And being the church comes with a responsibility. Comes with a responsibility to maintain your joy level. Maintain your joy in Jesus and serve him with gladness.
Amen.
I didn't say sadness and I didn't say madness. Serve the Lord with gladness. So that's where we have to step up into. As a part of our lifestyle of faith, we must learn a couple of things right off the front end. Number one, we must learn to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice is take the two, the re and the joyce or joying, it's rejoying or rekindling your joy, refueling and refiring your joy. We got to get real proficient and real productive about rejoicing. Why? Because the joy in rejoicing is the serious business of heaven, according to Andrew Murray. I believe it. God doesn't want to do things with you frustrated and irritated and agitated.
Amen.
He didn't like you being in his office or in his presence, because in his presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. Number two, doubt, complains, worries, and is sad. So if there's ever temptations to doubt, you can start seeing it come through your own lips.
That's right.
And you can kind of sense it coming through your own thought life. I'm thinking about the pain. I'm thinking about the problem. I'm thinking about the pressure I'm under. Because doubt worries, complains, and is what? Sad. So when doubt begins to manifest on the landscape of your personality, you can see a countenance that's sad and not glad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Philippians 4:4 in the Amplified says, Amplified Classic says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourself in him. Again, I say what? Rejoice. Now, some people would argue and say, Pastor, I don't have anything to rejoice about. I've got bad news. There's a lot of negative things going on in my life. I'm hearing the narratives that are just really just bad. So what is there to rejoice about? Number one, we should rejoice in his word.
Amen.
Because God and his word are one. And God's not going to change, and he's not changing what he said. So we can rejoice in his word. Amen. Now, I'm putting in a plug for Sunday, because with Sunday, the Lord very directly said we need to have praise, because sometimes we praise God once something good has happened. Now, that's okay. But he said, praise me for what I've said. Praise me for what is written. Why? Because there's a covenant to praise, not just what has happened and what God has done. Thank God we do. But we need to praise God for what he said and for what he's written, what's written in his word. That's why some people are missing that final step in their healing manifestation, because they're not praising for what is written. They're waiting for something to happen before they praise. And so they are praise misers. They are praise robbers of God. Why? Because he deserves our best and our highest praise. Because he is good. Remember that last song? You are so good, God. You are so good. Why is he good? Because he gave us his best. He gave us good. Every day he loads us with benefits. Come on now. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that's within us. He doesn't forget his benefits. So he's good. He is good, and his mercy endures how long? Forever. So you don't praise him for his, praise him for sending Jesus. Praise him for his miracles. Praise him for his suffering. Jesus is suffering for our sin, for our sickness, for our sorrow. I'm underscoring those, and our shame. And those are two big reasons why you need to have joy. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. His resurrection, because his victory is your victory. His gospel, his forgiveness. He forgave us of our sins. He redeemed us. Come on now. His spirit, his people. Thank God that you have a church that you can receive the teaching and preaching of the word of God. Amen. And the moves and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Come on now. His justice and his righteousness, also known as his vengeance, his glory. And then the next thing we need to learn, number two, if you wrote the number one down, learn to rejoice in the Lord. It's not an automatic behavior. For some people, it's not even an assumed belief. So first you got to really form a belief that rejoicing is a requirement. Rejoicing is necessary. Because God, why? Because God said it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord at all times. Amen. That's what it means. Always. And then, of course, number two, we got to learn to operate in the joy of the Lord. So it's first, how do we operate? By affecting the way you receive the word when you receive it with joy. Now, I can be like this. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing that for me. Or I can say, thank you. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, when we took our grandson down to Corpus Christi, he jumping on the bed in the hotel room. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And the Lord, you know, the Lord kind of can teach you in certain moments. In certain moments, he said, you know, are you excited about like that when you receive from me? Amen. Look at Psalms 119, 162. Psalms 119, chapter 119, and verse 162. I rejoice at your word as one who founds great treasure. Do you go, woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Man. Thank you, Lord. I'm so excited. Like he would, he was singing a song almost. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. See, it's the word that you get thrilled with and excited about is the word that works for you. You can almost tell people in faith and they have joy as a fuse to their faith because they're excited when they get a word from God. That's all I need. I'm excited. I'm expected because excitement leads to expectancy. Amen. Excitement leads to expectancy. If you're not excited, it's because you're not expecting anything. Secondly, when you laugh by faith at impossibilities because you're, how do you learn to operate in the joy of the Lord? Secondly, by when you laugh in faith at impossibilities because of your victory in Jesus. In fact, that you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus and the truth that the battle is the Lord's. Amen. And the victory is yours. You can neutralize and defuse the fear and threat environment. So I didn't say you feel like laughing. You laugh in faith at impossibilities. There are times you need to learn to operate in the joy of the Lord by going, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ho, ho, he, he. Everybody practice one time. Say, ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Everybody say, ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
He, he, he. So it's a faith laugh, not a fake laugh. Now here's a quote from Martin Luther on faith. The heart overflows with gladness and leaps and dances for joy it has found in God. The heart overflows with gladness and leaps and dances for joy it has found in God. Now, unfortunately, we don't see enough of that today. In this experience, Martin Luther goes on to say, the Holy Spirit is active and has taught us in the flash of a moment the deep secret of joy. Listen to what he said. You will have as much joy and laughter in life as you have faith in God. Ha, everybody say ha, ha, ha. Smith Wigglesworth says, faith laughs at impossibility. And as we've said before, we require a continuous refueling, so to speak, of joy. Everyone acts different when they're filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. Amen. Nehemiah 8:10 says it this way. I'm reading out of the Message translation. It says, this day is holy to the Lord. Now you could say when you wake up in the morning, that day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This day is holy to the Lord. That means I'm set apart exclusively to serve God for his purposes, his plans, his priorities. So this day is holy to the Lord. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute because it's going to get real a little intense. But he says, don't feel what? Bad. Don't feel bad. In other words, in the King James, it says, neither be ye sorry. That's a direct command. Don't be sorry. Don't feel bad. For the joy of God is your strength. Message translation. We know in the other translations, the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. But we missed that middle section. Amen? Now, it says, if you have no joy, you have no strength. That's what it's saying to us. If you have no strength, you can't resist sin, Satan, sickness, shame, underscore, or sorrow, underscore. If you can't resist, then you don't win. What wins? Shame. What wins? Sorrow. Of course, the other three are synonymous with that. But shame and sorrow is one of those two big reasons. You know, there's more reasons, but there are two big reasons that the Lord wants us to focus on tonight to have joy, to operate in the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Holy Spirit, joy in the Holy Spirit. Why? We have to mitigate shame, the shame cycle. And you have to eliminate and eradicate, this is how he said it to me, the sorrow cycle. You have to eliminate and eradicate the sorrow cycle. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. It says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 13, New King James. It says, for the scripture says, what does the scripture say? Whosoever believes on him will not be put to what? Now, when you're in shame, you don't act the same. That's right. And you don't magnify his name. I'll say it again. When you're in shame, you don't act the same, nor do you magnify and glorify his name. People in shame are ashamed of the Lord. Shame to talk to people about the Lord. Because a lot of times they don't feel good about themselves. They're embarrassed on who they are because of what the devil lied to them about. Amen. He said, therefore, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, and the same Lord over all is rich over all who call on him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Shall be saved. Now we see saved mean I finally get to heaven, but I'm going to keep my head tucked under for 50 years until I get to heaven. I'm not going to share my faith with anybody. I'm not going to even express my joy in Jesus or the joy of the Lord to anyone because I'm ashamed. What does that break down to? It breaks down to this. Pay attention to this point. Feelings of inadequacy and feelings of failure. They lead to self-shame or, on the sorrow side, self-pity and sorrow. The shaming cycle and the sorrow cycle will move you to get into and will manifest as, listen to this, indirect pride. Now, I saw this Sunday. I was already had put the outline of the message together, but the Lord was began to deal with me because my grandson, again, I was using him sometimes. I learned a lot from that young man, but anyway. He came in Sunday, you know, he had an accident. And, you know, this is not to embarrass him or anything. He had an accident himself. And so he came in. He was crying and he was upset. He was mad. He was downtrodden. And he said, I'm bad. I'm a bad boy. That's why you're a bad boy. Because I had an accident on myself. Actually, he said he pooped on himself. So, and then I said, no, you're not a bad boy. But, you know, how do you know when you operate in that cycle through your own mind and sometimes express it with your own lips, I'm no good. And the Holy Spirit arrested me. He said, learn something right now. That's what the devil does to every child of mine. Gets them to operate in self-shame. Gets them to operate in self-pity. And you got to be careful of the victim gospel, not the victory gospel. Where we say, I'm no good, I'm still a worm, I'm still a beggar, I'm a failure. And he began to deal with me a lot more intensely about it yesterday and today, because I said, Lord, this is revelation. Because when people say, I'm a failure, and he said it really manifests in families. People feel ashamed of, you know, their parents or their kids. And they take it on as self-shame. I'm a failure as a parent. The devil's repeating and reinforcing that. But what is it doing? It's robbing you of your joy. I've been really horrible. And you've asked the Lord to forgive you, but you've refused his forgiveness and his cleansing. Because when he says, when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive you of your sins and cleanses you from all what? Unrighteousness. So now you can go back into the value and virtue cycle of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So you got peace in your heart, peace with God, because he's forgiven you. He's cleansed you. Now you got peace, so you're not undisturbed and disquieted by anything or by anyone. You can operate in righteousness. You have a good position now with the Father. When he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, that means anything that's not right with God and not right with the things of God is completely washed away and wiped out. But we let other people shame us, or we operate in indirect pride by saying, "I'm just not good. I failed." Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Because friends, you look better, as we've said before, and when you're happy and joyful, being full of joy gives you both a facelift and a faith lift. And I think all of us as parents or grandparents, particularly, maybe are ashamed of things that we've committed, as a parent. And mistakes that we've made as parents or even as an employee. I messed up, lost that job. I shouldn't have lost that job. I shouldn't have did that, shouldn't have said that. And we have what we call in the natural sense in here in America, regret. I regret that. How do we overcome that? How do we overcome that? Hallelujah. Well, let's look at what Paul's example. Because we need to know how we overcome that. Why do you need joy? Because you got to overcome the shame or the sorrow cycles that the enemy of our soul tries to put us back in. To reinforce what happened, listen to me very closely, to what happened in the past. Why does he try to tempt us to get back in that shame cycle or that sorrow cycle, to reinforce the reality of what happened in the past. Amen. Now, look at this. How do we overcome our regret of our failures? Well, number one, look at Paul's example here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. What does he say to us? Open wide your heart to us. King James says, receive us. See, regret and rejection kind of run as cousins. He says, we have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. Wait a minute. Paul, and I heard Brother Copeland share about this. He said, Paul just lied. He persecuted the church. He did all that stuff in his past. But so how did he overcome this? He humbled himself and accepted what God called him. And not what shame or regret or sorrow called him. Now, he goes on in this chapter talking about godly sorrow leading to repentance. Godly sorrow does lead to repentance, but worldly sorrow leads to remorse and regret. Regret often means this: I'm sorry for all this trouble. I'm sorry I got caught. While repentance always means I'm sorry for my sin, and I choose to turn from that path back to God. Repentance leads to salvation and to abundant life in Christ. Regret for regret's sakes is devoid of true repentance, and it leads to demise. A demise of what? Being all your life in that shame cycle. Like a hamster in a wheel, you just spinning. Shame cycle, sorrow cycle. And here's what the Lord said to you tonight. Don't let your past rob you of your future. I was asking the Lord, this is why he gave me a statement. Allow me here. I was asking the Lord, why are so many people I know as Christians not very happy or joyful? Are y'all here tonight?
Yes.
And so why do we not don't need to let our past rob our future? Why? Because if you remain in your past, it will rob you of the future. If you're in that hamster wheel of shame cycle, or the sorrow cycle, when you're constantly sad, you're constantly mad, you're constantly miserable. And the devil will play high carnival with your feelings and emotions to keep you in that cycle. That's why you need joy to be a spiritual force that overrides your flesh. Amen.
Amen.
So the question is this to you, ladies and gentlemen. Are you more committed to the voice of shame or sorrow than the voice of God? Are you more committed to the voice of shame or sorrow to the voice of God? Where you're sad, you're mad, and you're very rarely glad. Come on now, yeah, don't make me work this hard. Come on, let's say praise the Lord. See, listen, write these three things. We forfeit our joy when we do three things. We forfeit our joy when we do three things. Write these three things down. Number one, we deny the presence of sin. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he not only carried our sins, but he bore our sicknesses, but he defeated the Satan but he also took our shame and he took our sorrows.
Amen.
The way of sorrows, the Via Dolorosa in biblical history, was the way that Jesus went to the cross. They spit on him. They mocked him. They slapped him. They pulled his beard out. They hit him. They stripped him of his clothes. They shamed him so we don't have to be put to shame.
Amen.
He took the sorrow so we can have what? His joy.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Amen. So when you forfeit your joy, that means you say, okay, here, devil, you can have my joy. I'll lay it down. Just like you forfeit your keys or you forfeit something. When you deny the presence of sin, because when you operate in that cycle, the presence of sin is there. And most times people get pious, religious, you know, self-righteous because they're in self-pity or self-shame, and they don't want to admit it and quit it. Are you listening to me? They have denied the presence of sin. They have denied the power of sin because shame will knock you down and keep you down. Sorrow will keep you depressed and discouraged more days than not. You'll be so unhappy and so down and so dark that you need a heavy forklift truck to pick you up to see sunlight. It's not good when Christians are depressed and discouraged.
Amen.
The Bible calls it in Isaiah 61, the spirit of heaviness.
Right.
The spirit of heaviness. But what is the garment of praise is for the spirit of heaviness. The oil of joy is for mourning and grieving and sorrowing. The oil of joy is for mourning, grieving, and sorrowing. Why do you need joy? To keep you from grieving, mourning, and sorrowing from the losses in life, from the rejection in life, from the shame in life, from the sorrowful things, the bad news that comes across in your life. Come on now. Praise the Lord. So you can't deny the power of sin and you can't deny the penalty of sin. Sin always deceives you. The reason is self-pity. The reason is self-shame is because you think you have a right to be that way. And it is indirect pride. It is indirect pride because you're too proud and you hold on to your shame. You hold on to your sorrow because you think you got a better idea or a better plan than God. You know, really, let me just take the whole veil out because I've been talking to the Lord. You ready to hear this? No, he said, this is the reason why the praise services haven't been as high as they need to be. We need to have high praises in this house.
Amen.
There needs to be high praises in your house. But why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. Come on now. And in his presence, when he inhabits, in his presence is the fullness of joy. And his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Come on now. We need to have those experiences in public and experiences in private of the presence, the manifested presence of God. Now write this down as a definition, not the only one. Two definitions of pride, because sometimes we think pride is when I'm just, you know, got the big I talking about me. But pride is bowing the knee to your way. It is saying, I'm sticking to my way. I'm sticking to how I feel. I'm grown. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm sticking to my way. I'm bowing the knee to my way. When you bow the knee to your way, you're saying no to God's way. Because God said in Nehemiah 8:10, neither be you sorrowful or don't be sad. I don't know how direct and clear that can get. Pride, number two, definition, it is a person who will not submit to what God said about a thing. Friends, we must not open ourselves to the voice of shame or sorrow. We must not open ourselves to the voice of shame or sorrow. Let's go to Peter and look at that for a minute. Peter. What's the answer to overcome regret? I would venture to say all of us have failed at something in the past. Have we not?
Yes.
And the biggest thing people grieve over, this is what the Lord was communicating to me. I believe it was the Lord clearly telling me. Most people grieve over their family. Regret the relationship they have with their parents, or regret the relationship that they have or don't have with their child, or regret things they didn't get accomplished in their status. And the devil will beat you up over it. But like we said before in other messages, the devil comes to steal your identity and your future. Because if he can steal your identity, he steals your inheritance, which your inheritance is Jesus' joy. John 15:11 says, "These words have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy would be full." So he didn't say half full or empty. He said that your joy would be full. He said, when you ask and receive, and you shall receive, that your joy would be full. So in other words, God's standard is fullness of joy. Come on now, fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Doing things with serving the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, how do we overcome that stuff? Because these things are real. And when my grandson was in the office crying and saying, bad because I did this, bad because of, and he said, that's the cycle that Satan always tries to put people in. I've heard the adults, so I'm just using my grandson because he's not here, and he probably won't listen to the message, at least for a while, depending on how long it's archived. But you know what I mean. Grown people will sit and confess their shame or their sorrow to others. And almost in a self-justifying way. I got a right to be in pity. What you're saying is, I got a right to be in indirect pride. First Peter 5:5, it says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elders. So the first step, as Peter is saying, to overcome these things, and we call it the honor steps, is you got to submit yourself. But pride does not what? It only bows its knee to its own way. This is what I got to do. This is how I feel. You just don't understand how I feel. I got a right to feel this way. Any tears will flow, or anger scowls will begin to form, and they will justify why I'm in shame, justify why I'm in sorrow. Well, they've submitted to the wrong thing. But he says, submit to yourself to the elders. We get taught the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We're supposed to all honor the Word as first place and final authority. And if the Word of God says, submit yourselves to the elders, yea, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with what? Second step, humility. So humility is saying, I'm going to submit to what God says. I'm going to bow my knee to what God says. in spite of how I feel, in spite of what the circumstances may say, I'm going to bow my knee to what the Word says. Because the Word is first place, and the Word is final authority in my life and highest priority in my life. So I'm not going to walk around with all that sadness and all that shame and hold on to it and harbor it in the deep recesses of my heart and soul. Because I'm going to forfeit from my joy, and I'm going to serve the Lord unacceptably. And I'm going to serve Christ, you know, legally. Because the standard is to serve the Lord with gladness. That means I got to be thrilled and excited about the opportunity to serve Jesus every day. I got to be excited about the privilege and the honor to hear His word preached and taught to me.
Amen.
Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So the first step is submissive. Submissive is not the same as subjugation, as some people purport and some people suppose. It's not subjugation. It is submission. That means willingness, a yieldedness, I'm coming under your authority and or your rank. That means I bow my knee to what you said, Lord, and not what I think and my way. And then be clothed with what? Humility. You're in charge of your humility department. Because he resists who? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the who? The humble. So therefore, humble yourself. That means, we know in the Amplified, it means demote yourself. Don't think I know it all. Don't think that I'm smarter than God. I got a better plan than His word or His will for my life. I don't have a better plan. I don't have a better way. I submit and surrender to His way and His will. I clothe myself with humility. Submission is the key to power. Humility is the key to promotion. He says, therefore, so humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. That word means promote. That also, that word means this, to be thrown beyond the usual mark. Paul used it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, except I be exalted beyond measures. Many people think that was pride, but it means to be thrown beyond the usual standard, which is the standard of everybody's got shame. Everybody's got sorrow. Everybody's got sickness they're dealing with. Everybody's struggling with sin. Come on now. We say the struggle is real. But to be thrown beyond the usual mark, come on now, to be exalted in due time, you got to be humble. You got to humble yourself to get the grace. The grace, according to James chapter 4, verse 6, Amplified Classic, it said grace helps you deal with evil tendencies and all others fully by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's an evil tendency? Most people think, well, if I'm going out fornicating, watching pornography, or doing something really big, all you got to be doing is running in that shame cycle or in that sorrow cycle. And you get resisted by God because it's indirect pride. Because it's all about self. Self-shame. Self-pity. Then he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. People will carry their cares. And that's pride. But you've got to cast your cares. That's humility. And humility is an act of faith that receives the grace from God's hand. He goes on to say in verse 9, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, In other words, if you cast your cares, if you're in humility, if you're in submission, you're sober. That means you think right. You talk right. You act right. When you're intoxicated, you're under the influence of either sorrow or shame. Praise the Lord. Because the devil's like a roaring lion. All he's got to do is talk to you a little bit and get you to get in that cycle. And now he can devour you. And then we said a roaring lion likes to eat and roar when it's eating. Like in the Tulsa Zoo, they used to always tell, they hear the lions at night because the flight path flies over the zoo. The lions are feeding at night, typically. And they're roaring loud. Loud enough for the plane descending to hear it. And you don't want the devil roaring over you because you forfeited your joy. You denied the presence, power, and penalty of sin, and you got in the cycle. You're in that hamster in that wheel, running in that shame cycle, running in that sorrow cycle, and now he says, I'm going to come and devour you. And if he devours you, he defeats you. If you have no joy, you have no strength. If you have no strength, you can't resist. If you don't resist, he won't flee. Here's a statement. I love it. I can't improve on it, from Dr. Jerry Savelle. If Satan can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. A couple more scriptures we'll close. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the way of life. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? You show me the way of life because in you, with you, is to be full of joy. With you is to be full of joy. Well, you might want to check and see if you're with him. If you're not full of joy. Some people, you know, wear the pious face, but there's no joy in their face. There's no joy in the heart. Just like when we sent out the text today. Are you half full or empty? Your joy and peace monitors are the most important monitors you need to maintain and understand. Your righteousness determines these values and virtues of the kingdom. Your righteousness determines, am I good with God? Am I in fellowship and in union with God? Some people have a relationship with God, but they are out of fellowship with God. God wants to stay in fellowship. That's why he said when you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You in, not righteous. Anything that's not right with God and not right in your heart and life pertaining to God. Being in with you is to be full of joy. In your and your right hand, there is happiness forever. That sounds pretty powerful, doesn't it? Psalms 5:11, but let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy. So that's a clue. Those are things we need to do for joy. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. Well, faith like it. I didn't say fake it. I said faith it. Faith like it. Sing and shout for joy because you make a covering over them and defend them. Let them also who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirits. It didn't say try to be. It didn't say someday you're going to be. It says be joyful. Again, doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is love. Now I'm going to go to the definition, excuse me, the definition of joy. Give you something to wrap your hand around. Joy can be defined as inward hope and exuberance in spite of outward circumstances. Inward hope as an inward hope and exuberance in spite of outward circumstances. Joy differs from happiness, which relies on favorable circumstances. Now, we know evil men, seducers, times are getting worse and worse. So there's a lot of people making excuses to be unhappy. What? Our joy level is not dependent on what's going on outside. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. One of the first ones. Love, joy is the second one. Listed. So that's very important. Joy is a spiritual fruit, but also a spiritual force. Amen. This supernatural joy and strength will give you a staying power when everything around you falls apart, as we see it happening in our times. Again, go back to Nehemiah 11:10, the last half of that verse in the Amplified Classic. And do not be grieved and depressed. Do not be grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. Don't be grieved or depressed. Even in times when it seems you have lost everything and you're flat on your back, you can still look up to Jesus and let laughter bubble up out of your heart. You can rejoice in the Lord and take his strength, which is in his joy. His joy contains strength to resist that sorrow, that shame, the sin. Come on now, all the bad things out there. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So how do we demonstrate as we get ready to close? By rejoicing, smiling, singing, dancing, laughing. Remember, joy irritates the devil. And unfortunately, some Christians, bless their darling hearts, have not irritated the devil in a while. Because he's been in their fan club. He's been following them around. Said, I'm a follower of you because you just like to be shameful and you like to be sorrowful. You like to be discouraged and depressed. And I'm just loving it. I'm just loving it. But joy irritates the devil. And sometimes even people around you in your family or relatives or people in your friend circle, they say, what are you so happy about? Why are you lit up? Or maybe people in the office, you know, or wherever you work. Remember, he likes to hang around, the devil does, to hang around in places of depression, grief, and sorrow. But where there is joy, in the presence and the glory of God will come, and he'll run him off. It'll run him off. That's why we need to get this joy to hit our house and our places of habitation so that joy runs the devil off. Amen. Last couple of scriptures here. Acts 13:52. The disciples will continually filled throughout their souls with what? Joy and what? The Holy Spirit. I want you to look at the word continually filled. Now notice they weren't always constantly filled, but they had to be continually filled. So have you had an oil of joy change, like you oil change your car? When's the last time you have an oil change? So wherever the word of God is preached, which we're going to preach it and teach it, study about it, read books about it these next 2 months, with the anointing, there should be a response of joy. This is what God wants us to reinstate, reactivate, and restore as a culture and atmosphere in this church at Triumph Word Christian Center. He wants to reinstate, reactivate, and restore. He wants the atmosphere be filled with righteousness, peace. Everybody say it with me, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The culture of joy, more particularly, is you can see in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Everybody say great joy.
Great joy.
Now, would you categorize our atmosphere and the culture here as great joy? Well, sometimes, we're getting there. God's helping us. Amen. Acts 8:8, and there was great joy in that city. Come on now, joy can spread. It's contagious. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Acts 15:3, so then being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy. Great joy. I want to be accused of causing. Come on, who's with me today? Come on, I want to be accused of causing great joy to all the brethren. Come on now, don't be a thorn in people's sides. Don't always bring bad news or bad report to people to bring them down to your level of depression and discouragement. Come on, and despair. Come on now, you want to be a causer of great joy amongst the brothers and amongst the sisters. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, that's enough tonight. Praise God. Let's stand to your feet. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, there's the joy.